www.thebigradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vampides.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay on TLD.
Why everything, Janet? I'm TLD. Brand new deals that we have at TLDWrestling.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to PWP Radio live on blogtalkradio.com. We are hosting live for WWE's Payback. Has just gone off the air from Chicago. And boy, do we have some stuff to talk about tonight. For those who don't know who we are ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We are an article-based pro wrestling website. And we have a Facebook, a Twitter, an iTunes, and everything. And we are all about pro wrestling. So we thank you for everyone joining us on this very late evening. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. They deserve it. They give us birth, so they definitely deserve it. So thank you guys for joining us. We are going to talk about a lot of stuff that happened tonight here at Payback. We're going to bring on my official co-host of the evening. His name is Nate. Nate, say hello to all the people out there.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. And there's girls, too, not just guys.
Oh, girls, too, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big rough one.
Yes. Did you wish your father a happy Father's Day today?
Yes, of course.
Okay, good. Just making sure, you know, just making sure you're not like a dick or something. So thank you for joining us tonight. Nate, I mean, you caught the big show tonight. A lot of hype going into this show. And let's just get down and talk about it. We had some big surprises, not necessarily on the show, but what's coming about. Definitely. So we got some, and definitely some switches tonight. It was a pretty interesting show tonight, actually. I think some people were surprised at some of the ways the matches ended, some of the turns, and some of the big announcements coming out. I mean, definitely got the crowd, and Chicago, God bless them. They were hyped up tonight. Just talk about the crowd. I mean, the crowd in Chicago is very strong. Me as a New Yorker, we are a very strong crowd, and you watched that crowd tonight. They were hot tonight. What did you think of the crowd?
Oh, yeah, Chicago is always great. I mean, you got a Chicago crowd, you got a New York crowd, New Jersey crowd. They're always big into wrestling, so I'm not surprised, you know, especially with CM Punk returning. Hot crowd always. I mean, look at that Money in the Bank pay-per-view 2 years ago with CM Punk. I mean, that crowd was nuts.
Yeah, where are you from, Nate?
Connecticut.
Oh, yeah, good old Connecticut. All right, just had to have a sip of water. I'm ready to go. Let's talk about the pre-show a little bit. You know, obviously they're doing very big with the Xbox, the YouTube. They're getting this thing going with the pre-show. Sheamus defeated Damian Sandow. I'm not surprised there. Let's just go on from that. So next up, we'll talk about the actual main card. I thought the promo tonight, entering the show, using the Mafia gimmick a little bit was pretty cool. So that was a good way to start off with the nice video package. But the hot match, to me, one of the best matches of the night, started off with a triple threat match. Curtis Axel, Wade Barrett, and The Miz. And not surprising, but definitely surprising, Curtis Axel wins the Intercontinental title here on Father's Day, paying vintage to his father, Mr. Perfect, who sadly passed away in 2003. An amazing moment for Curtis Axel to win that. He wins cleanly, but he wins it in a pretty cool fashion where, you know, The Miz had him in a figure four leg lock, but because Wade Barrett stuck, Curtis Axel jumped right in, got the pin, and while he was in the figure four, a very creative way of winning that match. What were your thoughts, Nate, on that match?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty decent match to, you know, start off the official pay-per-view. Nice back and forth action, and yeah, I like the finish too. I mean, the figure four into the pin, very creative by the WWE. I mean, I had a feeling Curtis Axel was going to win the IC title, so I'm, you know, very proud of him for winning it, you know, for his dad, you know, Kurt Hennig, you know, one of the great wrestlers of all time. So, you know, it was a pretty decent match to start off the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, I was very surprised. You know, I thought The Miz brought his A game tonight. He did a tremendous job, especially when he got into the hot moments at the end. He was really getting over with the crowd. Of course, the crowd was kind of booing him in the beginning, but he was getting over big time with Chicago after that. This is the Intercontinental title at its best, and I thought this was a great match, a great way to start off the show, got the show really going. And, you know, even though Fandango, I think actually Curtis Axel winning it was better than Fandango being in it. That's just me. Even though Fandango was kind of getting a couple chants in the crowd there, we saw a little bit of singing going on. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I saw that a little bit. I thought it was a little hilarious. But, yeah, good win for Curtis Axel. I mean, he's lined himself with Paul Heyman, so you can't go wrong with that.
No, not at all. And Curtis Axel, you know, with the Intercontinental title, I believe now, especially with Curtis Axel's position, it is really strong for the Intercontinental title. I think that's what, at the end of the day, this has done, has brought the Intercontinental title now back to the main stage, because we saw after that match, Curtis Axel got in the face of Triple H, and Vince McMahon is telling Triple H he's going to face him tomorrow night. So imagine Triple H facing the Intercontinental champion, Curtis Axel. It gets the Intercontinental title to a high level, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen tomorrow night with that. But what a great match. I thought it was a great triple threat match. Right, Nate?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I said, it's a good triple threat match. Like I said, creative finish and, you know, great back-and-forth action. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, this Curtis Axel Triple H thing, the whole McMahon Triple H family feud thing. It just sucks. I mean, I wish Shane McMahon would come back, because I really miss seeing him on TV. He's always one of my favorites of the McMahon family.
Actually, he was on TV, because Vince McMahon used a little Twitter tonight and did see across the screen that he did give his props out to Stephanie and Shane. So Shane was on the TV tonight. So they love that Twitter feed, don't they, that WWE?
Download the app, too.
Make sure you download the WWE app. You can watch all their shows. And by the way, if you want to call into this show, it's 760-888-5749. You can call in tonight or use the hashtag PWPRadio. We got some great stuff to talk tonight, and I hope you fans are really getting into it. So let's get going down the next match. AJ Lee goes against Caitlin. This is the first feud in a while for the Divas that I could remember where I actually cared. And it was pretty interesting how they ended it on Raw and SmackDown. But Caitlin, screwed Caitlin, as Vince McMahon would say. AJ Lee gets a submission victory, but Caitlin was ready to beat her with the spear. She blew like a little kiss in her face and kind of didn't pin her when she had the chance. And we saw a mental breakdown of Caitlin. So what were your thoughts on this match of AJ Lee and Caitlin?
No, I thought it was a pretty good match for a Divas match. You know, finally give them more than 5 minutes. I mean, I think the WWE, I think they took a little peek at the TNA knockout match with Taryn Terrell and Gail Kim. So, you know, they had to step up their game tonight. So, yeah, I thought it was a good match. I'm glad. I had a feeling AJ Lee was probably going to get the win with her nice little submission move that she has. Moving
Black
forward.
Black Widow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully moving forward, we can get this Diva division going. Caitlin with her mental breakdown. Yeah, I mean, she really sold those tears. So, see what happens in the future moving forward. You know, she's going to get a rematch. So,
yeah,
hopefully
know,
they can get it going
in
the Divas division.
I kind of feel bad for her because, you know, Caitlin, you know, the commentator was very big on saying, you know, Caitlin kind of screwed herself, and she did. You know, I wonder what this does for her character. But, you know, what we'll see later on down the night, we could definitely see a big switch here. And we'll get to talk about that in a minute. But that, yeah, Caitlin, I thought it was still a good match, not bad Divas match. You know, honestly, none of the matches were pretty bad. Maybe they were slow, but not bad. Moving forward, Dean Ambrose against Kane. Kane loses that match via countout. Dean Ambrose stays strong and is the winner of that match. What were your thoughts on Dean Ambrose versus Kane?
Yeah, I thought it was an okay match, but, you know, as long as Shield keeps the titles, I'm always happy because Shield's probably one of the best things going forward and on WWE program. So good for Dean Ambrose. And, yeah, most likely I'll probably see a rematch out of this because it was a count out. So be interesting to see maybe a rematch tomorrow night on Raw. But okay match, but I'm just glad that Dean Ambrose retains the belt because, you know, he's the part of the Shield, and the Shield's what's good in the WWE right now.
That's right. I would say they are one of the strongest reasons that the WWE is doing what they're doing right now because of the Shield. One thing I want to point out in this match that I think is going to be significant going forward in the next couple of months, we did see Dean Ambrose try to go to the top and do some old school on Kane. Do you feel that this is going to lead somewhere to where The Undertaker is going to come back? Because the last time we saw him, the Shield beat him down. And I think they're going to, because Daniel Bryan is kind of going his separate ways, you know, do you see something happening here where The Undertaker may, they might be playing these little tidbits here of getting The Undertaker to come out and maybe face him at SummerSlam? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting what they do with The Undertaker. I'm thinking something big with The Shield. I mean, maybe a Dean Ambrose, like you were saying, or a Roman Reigns in the future. Maybe even Kane, The Undertaker, tag up to face off against The Shield for the belts. That's always interesting, but I don't know. I mean, it's great to see The Undertaker, but I don't know. It's going to be a limited role. I know they want to save him for WrestleMania, so but it'll be interesting to see what they do.
A tag match is always one of the best ways to protect anybody that's not feeling great, and that is definitely one of the best ways to do it. And this could be a type of match where, you know, they could do that, especially when they were in England. Boy, they had a great six-man tag match. The only problem I have is that they lost on SmackDown. I think the Shield, if any time they should lose as a three-man team, it would have been against The Undertaker and Kane, at least in my opinion. I think losing on SmackDown was a huge mistake for the Shield to lose, especially on a show that no one, well, I'd say people watch, but it's not as viewed, you know, which is a good way to hide it, but again, it's still, they lost, you know, so, I mean, I didn't agree with that. I mean, what do you think, Nate? They should have been waited to lose a six-man tag at a big show?
Yeah, I'm probably save it for like a pay-per-view, but a secondary show like SmackDown, I think, doesn't really hurt them as much as it would like a live Raw. You know, I think a live Raw would have more of an impact, I would think, than a secondary show.
I agree, but, you know, now they can never say they never lost a match. You know, that's the only thing on my end that kind of hurts a little bit, that they didn't lose the match. You know, so, folks, we're about halfway through the show, and right before this next match, we had a little surprise for everybody. Big return coming at Money in the Bank, and I'm sure the Twitter universe is going crazy. I really didn't take a look at what was happening, but big announcement. Rob Van Dam, RVD, is coming back to the WWE and at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. This was a complete thing out of left field. Did not see this coming. You know, overall, I think it was a great, great show. I really did not see that coming out of WWE. I mean, Nate, let's talk about that. Rob Van Dam was announced ahead of time. It was actually kind of funny because I went to the bathroom for a little bit of a break. All of a sudden, I hear one of a kind. I'm like, wait a minute, what? I ran out of the bathroom. Yes, I did dribble a little bit on the floor. And Rob Van Dam's on the television. I'm thinking, like, you know, is he coming out to the ring? But no, they're announcing it for Money in the Bank in Philadelphia, where I'm not too far from, which I'm definitely going to. Nate, what were your thoughts on seeing that promo?
I thought it was great. I mean, especially with that Chicago crowd. You know, come on, RVD chance. And his return is going to be in Philadelphia, old ECW. I mean, it's great. I know I heard a rumor that he was coming back. He signed a 2-year contract. I hope he's in the match. I love to see him in the Money in the Bank match. He wins and maybe cashes in that Money in the Bank at the same night and win in one title. It'll be nice to see.
Well, you know, I think that Rob Van Dam would be very perfect for enhancement talent to help some of these talent get over. Rob Van Dam is one character, no matter how much wins or how many losses or wins, that man is over every single time. So think about what we could see now. Rob Van Dam against CM Punk. That's a match I would love to see between those two guys. I mean, imagine that match, which, you know, WWE, I'm sure, is going to make happen at some point. You know, obviously, Rob Van Dam beat John Cena, and John Cena has never beaten Rob Van Dam before. That's another way, another big match you could do. Rob Van Dam and The Shield, Rob Van Dam and Daniel Bryan, these are big matches that we could see. But I think Rob Van Dam, if anything, he's coming back. He's going to help this talent get over, if anything, because Rob Van Dam can't get hurt no matter what happens to him. But I would like to see him in the Money in the Bank. I don't see him winning. I just don't see them pushing Rob Van Dam over other guys. But, you know, especially in the TNA run, because he really did not show a strong TNA run, at least in my opinion. You know, I think he could either been lazy or he just wasn't working out there. What were your thoughts of Rob Van Dam in the TNA, if you watched anything with TNA?
Yeah, I really didn't really follow him too much in TNA. I mean, I remember back in the day with the old ECW and WWE run. I mean, I always liked Rob Van Dam. I met him before. Cool guy. His role is basically almost like the Chris Jericho role, just putting over other talent, which is good for him. But, you know, it's like that little pipe dream, him winning the belt one more time, because, you know, I always loved Rob Van Dam. He's one of my top probably 10 guys of all time that I liked in WWE or ECW.
Yeah, I mean, they got to reintroduce Rob Van Dam. It's been a couple of years since Rob Van Dam has been missing from WWE television, although I think it's a great coup to bring him in. He does some amazing moves, and a ladder match is a perfect way to bring Rob Van Dam back. I couldn't think of a better crowd to bring him back in. That place will erupt when Rob Van Dam comes out. Even if he doesn't win, you know, I think it's going to be a great moment indeed. But just the idea of, you know, them announcing him ahead of time, you know, do you think we'll see Rob Van Dam before Money in the Bank, or do you think they're just going to save it for Money in the Bank?
No, I just save him for, like, Money in the Bank or something. I don't know what Sabu's doing, but bring him and Bill Alfonso. I'll have ECW flashback moments. I would love that one.
You've tried that already. That did not work out.
No, I know.
So I think that's done, but I think just Rob Van Dam is marketable. You know, what are we going to do about Ryback and Rob Van Dam? They have the same trousers now.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Well, that's he got his artist, RVD's artist that makes his trunks, Ryback. So,
well,
yeah, that'd be very interesting to see.
We could have a singlet on a pole match.
There you go.
So WWE, I know you're listening because you always listen to our show. You are going to make a singlet on a pole match or spray paint on a singlet match, whatever you want to do. Just make that happen. That's right, because TLD Wrestling said so. All right, so going past Rob Van Dam, this match was quite interesting. I did not see it going this way at all. But Alberto Del Rio, ADR, against Dolph Ziggler. You know, Dolph Ziggler obviously very over with the crowd. They used the concussion storyline in this match, and they just pulled a WrestleMania 13 on us when we just saw Alberto Del Rio constantly go after the head of Dolph Ziggler. Even though he was getting medically attended, you would see him go after him, attack him in the head, and boy, you talk about getting some sympathy. Dolph Ziggler was getting much of that, not only from the crowd, but from the audience, from the referee, from just the mannerisms that, you know, Alberto Del Rio was doing. It made him look like a heel, and ending up, that's where they're going. But Alberto Del Rio wins the World Heavyweight title. I did not see that match ending the way it did. But the delivery of how that happened I thought was great, because now Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio just switched roles on us as far as their position as a heel and a face. Nate, what were your thoughts on a little bit of flashback of WrestleMania 13 there?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, I'm just still surprised that Ziggler lost the belt. I mean, I don't know if he was really 100%. But, yeah, definitely a flip-flop. We see Alberto Del Rio being now the basically heel, and Dolph Ziggler maybe turning into a face. But I'm still a little disappointed Ziggler lost the belt. I'd like to see him keep the belt for a while. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't think he's 100% from that concussion. So.
Well, he might not. He definitely. Well, we don't know, because he really didn't get too much offense in this match. I think it was on purpose the way they did this match, because Alberto was being the smart guy by going after the head of your opponent. And obviously that would be the smart thing to do when you know someone's injured. Anytime you know someone's injured, you always go for that spot. But the face is not supposed to do that, and that's what Alberto Del Rio was doing. You know, he was already getting booed from the Chicago crowd because obviously people love Ziggler. But boy, even the people that were chanting for Ziggler sucks, that started to die down, because you saw Alberto Del Rio was, you know, constantly kicking the guy in the head. You know, almost at times looked like that was a little scary to watch when that was happening. But in the end of the day, a kick right to the head knocked out Ziggler, and AJ was at ringside, and, you know, you could see her face, her concern, and the concern of the referee, and even there was a doctor at one point outside the ring. And then all of a sudden, you see Alberto just take 2 feet right to the back of the head. It was just like, oof. It looked like very painful for Dolph Ziggler. I thought the delivery of it was great. You know, I mean, you really can't say much more. I mean, do you think that this could help Ziggler get over more, though, the way this went?
Yeah, I hope. I mean, like I said, I can see him as a big face moving forward. I'm surprised no Big E in the match, too. I mean,
well,
where was
he? Well, they kicked him out. They kicked out the one
guy. Oh, they
guy
kicked him out. I must have missed that part. Okay.
Yeah, what happened was Alberto pushed him first, and then Big E pushed him, but he took him to the ground. And then the referee kicked him out. So right away that start, the man who actually started that was Alberto Del Rio. He's the one that pushed him. So how could Big E not push back? But the referee kicked him out, you know. So in a way, Alberto Del Rio caused Big E to get knocked out, and that started right there. I think that's where I started to realize that, you know, Alberto's going to be doing something here that, you know, he's doing the big heel turn. And that's what he did. And even after the match, He's proud. He was like, Chen, like, I'm proud to be your champion. You know, he said some things afterwards. What about the speech afterwards he was trying to do? Obviously, he was trying to get some heel heat while trying to do that because he wants to be the champion. And even Ricardo started talking English instead of Spanish.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely heel heat. And just the look of it, I mean, yeah, you could see him as heels. You know, they're going to get booed out of the building. But, yeah, moving forward. I mean, I don't know. Just Alberto Del Rio's character, it just doesn't work for me, heel or face. He's just lost in Bizarro world. I said put a mask on and make him a luchador. I mean, I don't know. His character doesn't fit on me, you know, heel or face.
Yeah, you know, I've always had that problem with him. I thought that he had a big opportunity at WrestleMania to get over, and they had a long time to build that feud. But when Jack Swagger got his little issue, and not to mention that Zeb Coulter is over more than the feud, you know, it made it kind of hard to get Alberto over, even though I thought they had a great match, and I thought Alberto winning the belt in Miami was one of the coolest things to watch, especially on SmackDown against the Big Show. I thought that was a great moment for him. I really didn't see big things coming, but after WrestleMania, we didn't really see that happening, and Alberto Del Rio, he is the World Heavyweight Champion again. But in the way the mannerisms and the way he did it, and the way Ricardo even is not really being a funny character anymore. He was kind of being, kind of a heel in a way. You saw him throw, like, Ziggler back in the ring. You know, we're going to see a whole different side. I think it's going to be different heel run this time for Alberto, not being a rich aristocrat. He's trying to get the sympathy from the crowd, but the crowd's, you know, kind of turning on him based on his actions. So I think it's going to be a different character this time.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it is. I mean, I think it might be a better heel than before, but we'll have to tune in and find out.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move forward to the next one of the big matches of the night, CM Punk versus Chris Jericho, or I like to say the Wolverine versus Y2J in this match. You see CM Punk kind of having a little Wolverine there style haircut, but CM Punk versus Chris Jericho, a very good match. In fact, in the beginning, I was kind of wondering, CM Punk did not look as strong in the beginning of that match. In fact, he looked pretty weak, looking at it. You can even see Heyman's face and the way the crowd's reacting, like how slow this is. But once CM Punk got that groove going, man, the crowd got into it. It was a great back-and-forth match with submission holds. In the end of the day, CM Punk with 2 go-to-sleeps wins that match against Chris Jericho. Nate, talk about how you feel this match went.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good match. Yeah, I mean, CM Punk with the ring rust being out for, you know, two months, had a little bit of a feeling CM Punk was probably going to get the win in the match because they had that old sign in the crowd, if CM Punk loses, we riot sign. You see that? That guy's got to win. So, but no, I thought it was good. CM Punk looked good. He was wearing the old Chicago Blackhawks trunks, you know. So that was always good to represent Chicago Blackhawks in Chicago. Pretty good match. I thought maybe there was going to be some kind of heel turn. I mean, I thought maybe Heyman was going to turn on Punk and Jericho gets the win moving forward. But, no, great win for CM Punk and moving forward, see what happens. It was kind of interesting looking at CM Punk talking to Heyman and then walking out of the ring. So maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a little sense of something might being developed, because if you look before earlier in the match, CM Punk was looking at Heyman on the when he was on the top of the stairs, kind of like a distraction move, and that almost cost CM Punk the match. So I wonder if there's a little rift between a little start of a rift between Heyman and CM Punk. So
very
interesting.
I mean, yeah, they definitely played the fact that, you know, Paul Heyman kind of got involved and seemed to be kind of getting in the way of what Punk was trying to do. They didn't do that as often, so I think for right now, they're going to keep CM Punk the heel, even though, I mean, even, you know, it depends how he comes out, you know. He had to prove himself wrong. Jericho came into that match as a heel. He acted like a heel. You know, he's like, you know, saying, come on, Punk, just like hitting on the back of the head, you know, and Punk was doing the face thing. You know, Paul Heyman was there, and you could see the face of Paul Heyman, like, don't give up, don't give up. It almost looked like Heyman was also a face in that match. You know, it was kind of interesting dynamic where Paul Heyman, you know, in one match looked like a heel, but another match looked like a face. It was quite an interesting dynamic with this match, especially being in Chicago. If this was not in Chicago, you know, it'd be a whole different type of match.
Exactly.
You know, it would be a totally different thing. If it was in Winnipeg, Jericho would have got all the, you know, the run. You know, if it was in New York, I think Jericho would have gotten all the run. You know, it's really a 50-50 split, but when you have him in his hometown and you haven't seen him in 2 months, you even wonder, people were like, CM Punk ain't even going to show up, you know, which would have been a bigger problem. But it was a full-fledged match, nothing suspicious, you know, CM Punk wins. And I'm very happy that CM Punk won that match. I think he deserved it. I was hoping that Jericho would win. I was on the Twitter feed. I was kind of getting ready to post that Y2J was going to win that match, but he didn't. So, I mean, would you say I feel that was like the best match of the night? In fact, my girlfriend's watching, and my girlfriend watches. She's like, this is the match I want to see. You know, because she likes Y2J. She likes, you know, Punk, and it's just a match that I think a lot of people wanted to see, and I think it held up to his expectation.
Oh yeah, definitely match of the night. I mean, you got guys like CM Punk, Chris Jericho, Dolph Ziggler. I call these guys the broomstick men because you can put them with a broomstick and they can wrestle a good match for 30 minutes. I mean, these guys are great. Daniel Bryan's on the list too. It's great. They never put a bad match on, and they're good at carrying anybody in the ring. So they're always great. But, I mean, CM Punk did have a little ring rust. But, I mean, it's understandable. The guy was off for 2 months. You know, you can't pick it up right away. But he picked it up towards the end.
Yeah, they said they were bringing up points back from the previous match. Dolph Ziggler was out of the ring for a while. He had a concussion on top of it. And now Punk is off for 2 months of no wrestling, which he probably had. He literally probably did not wrestle for 2 months. You know, and in the beginning, Punk did look very weak. I have to say, I was a little surprised. I was like, is Punk going to miss every move? I think that was on purpose for the psychology of the match, was for Punk to look bad, but then eventually he got his groove going, and he was just like the old CM Punk again. You know?
Yeah,
so,
probably get that crowd going, too, behind him, too, maybe. You know?
I think a lot of times they were booing, but I think they were booing on more Punk just because of the way he was missing moves. You know, he wasn't able to counter Jericho. I would say there was a lot of booing going on, not necessarily to Jericho, but just to the match itself, because, you know, they're expecting more from Punk, and they're not getting it. But at the end of the day, the finish was pretty cool, especially the walls where, you know, what I liked about that move was Jericho had him in the walls. He kept fighting out of every part of the walls. He got rid of one leg, then it was a single clap, and then he turned it around. He was trying to do everything he could to get out of that hold, which I thought was pretty cool and something I've never seen done to Chris Jericho's walls of Jericho, where every part where you always see the walls or whenever he's setting up the walls, he was able to get out of that whole thing. I thought that was a pretty cool sequence to set up the finish. What do you think?
Yeah, I like that sequence. Yeah, that was a pretty good sequence. I also like, you know, Jericho's use of the code breaker. I like when he does the code breaker. An interesting move, too, on how he performs it. So, but, yeah, the whole match besides the beginning where Punk was slow, but when they got it going, they got it going. I mean, these guys are two greats in the ring, you know. Always great. And moving forward, hopefully we'll see where CM Punk goes from here. You know, there's a lot of talk about CM Punk, Brock Lesnar moving forward. So it's going to be interesting for the coming months for CM Punk's character.
Yeah, I really would prefer to see CM Punk, Curtis Axel, and Brock Lesnar actually get together as a team
you know, rather than have them fight each other. I think that'd be good later on down the line. But I think SummerSlam, why not have the three top,
oh, man,
you know, heels?
How about the Shield against those three? Oh, my God.
Well, Brock Lesnar is not a face. That's the problem. It would not work out.
Yeah.
I'd rather see them face the Brothers of Destruction. I'd rather see John Cena team up with two other guys like Daniel Bryan or Kane or Daniel Bryan and someone else like Randy Orton to take on Lesnar, CM Punk, and Axel. I think that would be a really big headline match without putting the title on the line. I think it'd be a great idea. I don't know, but we'll see going forward. But before we move on, we do have another call here, Nate. We're going to bring him on the line. 786 area code. You are now on the air. State your name and where you're calling from. 786. You're wasting very valuable airtime. Okay, bye-bye. All right, so we got rid of that call. If you're going to call into the show, be near the phone. Come on, people. All right, moving forward. Right away after that match, we went from the Shield, put on the tag belts on the line against Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. A lot of miscommunication between Daniel Bryan and Orton, as we figured. The Shield wins this match, and they're still the tag team champions. Your thoughts on this match, Nate?
Yeah, pretty good match. You wonder where they're going to go with Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton, who's going to turn heel, who's going to be the face, and all that. So it should be interesting to see how that all plays out. But, you know, once again, the Shield retains the tag team titles, so it's good for me because, you know, like I said, I like the Shield. They're one of my favorite things to watch on Raw besides CM Punk, so good for the Shield.
Well, after we saw the Alberto Del Rio turn, in a way, you know, I figured they were not going to do another turn because that would hurt, you know, Alberto's kind of turn in a way, you know. So I'm glad that they didn't do it now, but I'm sure we're going to see it later on down the line. We're going to have to take this call and let's see if they'll answer. 706, you are now on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's me, Toph, just calling in.
Oh, Toph, we're losing connection. I guess we got to drop your call, Toph. I can't hear you. What did you say?
Ha ha.
Oh, Toph can't take a joke. All right, Toph, we are just in the middle of the Shield versus, you know, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton match. First off, give your thoughts on a couple of the matches that we already went over. Curtis Axel, talk about the Intercontinental title win. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I didn't see the card, but I read all the results online. I'm not surprised.
You know, this is the post-show for Payback, and you didn't even watch the show.
No, but I can still give an opinion, right?
Okay, so what's your opinion of Alberto Del Rio defeating Dolph Ziggler?
Oh, clearly Ziggler is not healed yet. That's the only explanation, so not surprised at all. And what you said earlier about Curtis Axel, from what I understand, Triple H is a big fan of him. You know, he was in NXT. I don't know. Did you ever watch his NXT work?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. He's got a lot of good work. You know, I do watch NXT. You know, I'm not really too crazy about, you know, Raw or SmackDown, but I watch NXT all the time. And, you know, I wasn't really surprised. And, you know, just nowadays, they don't really build up guys like they should. You know, they just kind of hot-shot him and put the belt on him, so I wasn't surprised at all. I just kind of feel for Barrett because, you know, Wade Barrett, he's one of the few guys in WWE I do like. He has all the talent, he has all the qualities, but he's just missing something. I mean, he's like a three-time Intercontinental Champion now, like nobody cares. That's kind of bad. But what I really called in for, I just wanted to talk about the RVD thing for a second, and that was all right.
I guess you read about that. But we're not talking about that right now.
Okay.
Just give your thoughts real quickly. It was a great triple threat match, by the way, and Nate, who's on the line right now, also agreed with that. AJ Lee becoming the Divas champion.
I don't care about the Divas division. They can do whatever.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry I brought that up. But I don't know how you read it, but, you know, Alberto Del Rio kind of did, and Dolph Ziggler did the WrestleMania 13 switch there, you know, where Del Rio came out the heel in that match. You know,
that doesn't surprise me. Del Rio wasn't really working as a face anyway. And Ziggler was getting cheered. You know, that was the problem with Ziggler. Ziggler, he kind of had the same thing that Christian had in 2011. Like, he was a heel when he did his one more match thing, but he wasn't really acting like a heel in his matches, minus the whole spinning and Randy Orton. And even though Ziggler's a heel, he really wasn't doing anything heelish, unless you want to count Big E sometimes interfering. So Ziggler was getting consistent positive reactions anyway. And Del Rio, you know, they tried to kind of build him into the next Eddie, but it just didn't work out, you know. So I think that's fine. I'm okay with Ziggler losing because, you know, it's just clear that if he dropped it, he must not be 100%. And, you know, the feud will continue over the summer. So it's all good.
You know what? I just have an epiphany. You know, we just realized that Alberto Del Rio did attack Dolph Ziggler on Raw, which now makes perfect sense when he acted the way he did tonight, you know. So now it's totally starting to make sense. And he had some good matches with, you know, Big E. But Big E got kicked out after Del Rio actually pushed him first. You know,
he
so
did. I mean, Del Rio's a good worker. He's not suited for a babyface style, not in WWE. Now, I've been listening to the whole show, and I think one of you guys mentioned about how he should, you know, go back to being a luchador. Now, maybe if he had a mask. Yeah, that will work. That will work fine. But just as he is, he's just a natural. He kind of reminds me of Razor Ramon. Like, he just kind of oozes that heelish persona. Just as a babyface, it's not working. The only reason he's even getting cheered is because of Ricardo. You take Ricardo out of it, and no one really cares about him. So he's better off being a heel. I'm fine with Ziggler losing.
Okay, well, moving and CM Punk versus Chris Jericho. CM Punk won that match. I'm sure you're not surprised by that victory. But Punk did show a little ring rust, and, you know, that kind of hurt him in the beginning, but he came back pretty strong. Your thoughts on Punk winning?
I'm sure it was just an in-ring psychology deal to tell the story of Punk having ring rust. And you were from a wrestler yourself, right? I mean, you should know. So it makes perfect sense. And it doesn't surprise me that Jericho's losing because Jericho, you know, he's one of the most selfless guys in the business. He doesn't mind putting guys over. The problem, though, is he loses so much, that doesn't mean anything anymore. And that's kind of my main beef against his WWE run. You know, when you want to lose, you want it to feel special, but it's like he loses to everybody now. But he puts on good matches regardless, so, you know, it is what it is.
Okay. Moving on to the final match of the evening, John Cena versus Ryback. Three stages of hell. The first stage was a lumberjack match. The second stage was a tables match. The last stage was an ambulance match. The first match, lumberjack, Ryback won that match. Nate, talk about the big spot that they used. I mean, we saw John Cena climb on the top rope. He took out every lumberjack that was possible. Even guys, it was a big domino effect there. Nate, what were your thoughts on the lumberjack match first?
Yeah, that was a nice little spot by John Cena doing the old. Well, you must have been watching like Jimmy Snuka tapes or something, but that was a nice little spot knocking down all the guys. I thought I was going to flip flop. I thought maybe John Cena would win the lumberjack match and then Ryback would win the table match, so they flipped it on us. But and no big deal, but yeah, I like that little spot in the lumberjack match.
The only reason I like the fact that John Cena lost it was because what lumberjack was going to touch Ryback and like attack him? You know, especially the way he's been. He took out so many guys over the last few weeks that no one would do that. So, to me, the way they actually did it made perfect sense. The next match was a tables match. You know, I think Ryback is the first man in history to have a steel steps go through three tables. You know, every time he threw a ring step into a table, which was pretty interesting. What were your thoughts on the table match?
Yeah, that was a decent little table match. Like you said, he was throwing the steel steps through the tables. I like Ryback flipping the table at one point.
Yes,
that was pretty smart of him, too.
Smart. Yep, that's smart.
You know, he had some little gray matter between his ears for that little spot. But, yeah, it was a decent table match. So,
and
you know, Cena wasn't losing.
And then the ambulance match, which I was a little disappointed that Ryback didn't come out of the ambulance tonight. I kind of like the fact that he comes out with the siren, like the Scott Steiner style, and, you know, his music plays. I kind of like it. But ambulance match, the ending, John Cena gives him an AA from the top of the ambulance right through it, which was pretty obvious once they were going up there what was happening. But, boy, that is one of the cheapest EMS vehicles I've ever seen. The doors came off very easily. The windows suck. You know, that's an ambulance I would not drive in. Trust me, if I was a pro wrestler, which I am, but if I go through that, if I was the one being ridden out of that, you know, ambulance that night, I'd be worried because I'm afraid that car would rip me up.
Did it look like one of those spots you wouldn't want to take?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay,
you know,
I got you.
Not only that, but the way the vehicle came apart, they were throwing each other into the door that was open, and then the door fell off.
And
then
that sounds dangerous.
Yeah, that looked kind of dangerous. Yeah, they were ripping that door. They were ripping that ambulance.
It could have been a budget problem. Maybe they couldn't find, like, a proper car or something. But, yeah, I see what you guys are saying. It sounds like a really dangerous spot.
And plus, did you notice, like, the back windows were kind of, like, whitened, like, dark? Like, you couldn't really see inside of it? I had a feeling something was going to happen with a big finish or something. Because it kind of looked like the back windows were kind of darkened a little bit. Couldn't really see inside it.
Hey, they even honked the horn a couple times. You know,
yeah.
Redback was hitting the horn a couple times, so the horn kept going off. That was kind of funny. But they didn't open the doors once, Tope. They actually didn't do anything to the doors. When John Cena went up to the top, he took the top of the ambulance, the sirens, and kind of hit Ryback with them. And then eventually Ryback, I thought the ending was a little weak because Ryback went up there with a crutch from the ambulance. Didn't even try to swing at him. He was just trying to get up there, and he ended up kind of losing and giving it to Cena. What were your thoughts on the ending, Nate, on the way that went?
Yeah, kind of a little cheesy, but, I mean, a nice little pop, like, goes through the roof. It kind of would have been funny if Cena fell by accident and went through by himself. They screwed up the finish, but no.
Well, I kind of saw that because Cena wasn't going on the very, very top, you know, I could tell that was planned on. I saw that coming once that he wasn't going through the top. But it definitely looked like some kind of like aluminum or something on the top that broke through. But, man, well, you know, Ryback went to the hospital, and maybe he should be off TV for at least a week, at least in my opinion. If, you know, when you have an ambulance match, to me, you know, the person should not come back for like a month or two or at least a couple of weeks. What are your thoughts, Tope?
Yeah, generally ambulance matches, or as they called them back in the older days, stretcher matches. Along with stretcher matches and two out of three falls, they're typically the end of the feud. And when it's over, the loser basically is taken off TV, and you don't see them again for like a month or 2 months. And when they come back, you know, they just do something different. So more than likely, this is probably the end of the Ryback Cena feud. It's very unfortunate. I don't even like Ryback, but I don't have to like him to know that they were building him up last year, and he was getting really consistent positive reactions. I don't understand WWE at times. It's like every time they try to build a new face, they just give up, and they just turn him heel. It's like you gave him the undefeated streak. You had him lose all those pay-per-views in a row. You had him lose to Henry at WrestleMania. You have him lose to Cena. So it's like, what was the point of all that? You know, they've done this so many times. And now you got Daniel Bryan, who's basically in the same position as so many others in the past. It's like, is it going to be one of those, let's turn him into the next phase, or just going to turn him heel too? But it just seems pretty clear that they're comfortable with keeping Cena on top. And every time someone else is getting close to that level, they just turn them when there's no reason to. It's just WWE logic. You know, they want to keep Cena on top. You know, it seems like, you know, I don't want to rant too much, but Edge, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, you know, when they turned Christian heel, Edge said this in an interview. He said that he would rather be the number one heel than be the number two babyface, and that's the philosophy
right.
He went by. And
so
that's why he
did the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. And Punk, he chose the same route. And so it seems in WWE, and not TNA or Ring of Honor, but it seems in WWE, right now in this current, you know, era, your only choice is to be a heel. And be a heel that becomes so over, you just get turned face by the fans. You know, Punk and Bryan being the best example. So
it's not just a straight up heel. It's a chicken heel a lot of these guys are turning to.
Yeah.
You know? So that's pretty bad, too, what they're doing with the heels. They make them chicken heels.
Ryback has not really been so much of a chicken because he's been kind of dominating. You know, he took Kofi Kingston out. You know, he's had some great matches with Daniel Bryan and some other guys over the last few weeks. You know, obviously the other guys try to make him look good too. But even this match wasn't that bad, you know, compared to other, like WrestleMania, Mark Henry, that was a pretty bad match. You know, but the matches he's had on the last two pay-per-views to me made him look pretty good. You know, I don't know where they're going to go right now with Ryback. He's obviously going to – I think he should be off TV for a little bit. But why not have Kofi and Ryback go at it? Because obviously Kofi has a score to settle with Ryback. And why not try to make a face look good? Ryback right now, because he's not going to be the top heel in the company, you might as well try to let him get some bigger guys over like Kofi Kingston as an example.
I mean, what would you guys think of Kofi Kingston versus Ryback?
Yeah, that's a good plan. I got nothing against that.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah, I think that's where they should go with it. You know, and because he should be off TV for a little bit, it's a good segue to why Toph called in, because we can't have two guys with the same tights anymore, Toph.
Actually, the funny thing was, when I heard about the RVD thing, that was actually the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, what's Ryback going to wear?
Well, Ryback can change his outfit. I mean, he can change it up. You know, he's a big dude. He can be in the trousers, you know, and all that. But so let's talk about, let's get your opinion. I mean, obviously, most people are going to be talking about that, more than the pay-per-view itself. People wish they saw the promo now. So what were your thoughts on Rob Van Dam's announcement coming back? How did you hear about it?
Oh, well, how you just like different pages on Facebook and people just post updates and stuff. And, you know, I saw the trailer of RVD or a little thing they showed in a pay-per-view. And this is just, I don't want to get too mean or negative. This is just typical IWC BS here. For years, fans just completely crap on these guys that are doing good work elsewhere, but then when they come back to WWE, they mark out. Like, people were talking crap about Booker T and Kevin Nash when they were in TNA, and then those same people mark out when they come back at the Royal Rumble. RVD's run in TNA was just fine. The problem was is that towards the later end of it, he was just kind of on chill mode. He had a lot of good matches with AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy. He had some matches with Austin Aries and Kenny King on his way out. You know, RVD had a lot of great matches. Some of his best matches were at Bound for Glory. The match he had with Abyss in 2010 was great. You know, RVD's had great matches, but despite that, fans just crap on them because it's not WWE. I just think there's some nostalgia there. You know, it's just like video games. You know, some people don't like to play the newer Sonic games because Sega's dead and it's on Nintendo. It's just the purest thing. You know, people are talking about RVD's going to work with younger guys. See, that's the thing about RVD. RVD doesn't put other guys over. He's not like Jericho. He's always been that way. He's not going to put other younger guys. He's not going to put over Cesaro or Barrett or any of these new guys. I'll tell you exactly what RVD's going to do. RVD's going to show up and he's going to work a program for a high-profile guy, probably Cena or Orton or Punk, one of those, have a few matches, leave, come back, leave. You know, he's going to have like a match maybe once or twice every month or so. He's going to be on the same schedule as Lesnar. He's not going to put over anybody. RVD, he's too chill. He's basically Orton. He's not like Jericho. He's not going to do it. I just think this is just IWC hypocrisy. It really makes me angry because people talk about how TNA focuses on old guys when actually they've been building up their roster. Meanwhile, all WWE does is they bring in old guys from yesteryear. I mean, who's really being WCW here is WWE, not TNA. But, you know, it's whatever. He's going to come back at Money in the Bank. It's going to be in Philadelphia. The fans are going to mark out and have their IWC moment. And then when he doesn't show up the next week, fans are going to turn on him just like The Rock, IWC logic. So it's all good. It's all good.
So that rant from Toph was brought to you by hashtag PWP Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Toph, for voicing your opinion, but that's the kind of show we are. You know, we talk about our opinions on this. You know, we don't know what to expect right now from Rob Van Dam. You know, I don't know how we're not behind the scenes. We don't know how contracts work and everything. You know, is he going to do a Brock Lesnar type deal? I don't know. You know, he's getting to that age, but he can still go. And that's one thing about Rob Van Dam. You can't doubt that he could still go in the ring. You know, I feel like in TNA, there were days where he did and there were days that he didn't. But in WWE, you know, that's one guy that, you know, came in as a heel. That's one guy that just never can be a heel in WWE. People just like him too much. You know,
he was a heel briefly in ECW, but it didn't really get
small.
Over.
No, you can't make Rob Van Dam a heel. He's just too, like you say, he's a chill guy. He's a cool guy. He's not like a kind of guy that's going to, who cares about fighting or has an anger issue against somebody. I mean, I would love to see a heel Rob Van Dam again in WWE. I think, imagine if you got teamed up with Paul Heyman. This is that's definitely a possibility. And he could definitely go in as a heel, against some guys, but. I mean, if there was a match you would want to see with Rob Van Dam, what do you think the first feud or match you believe, well, obviously he's going to be in the Money in the Bank match, but beyond that, who do you feel he should face?
It's very unfortunate. I always wanted him to face John Morrison. because John Morrison, when John Morrison was there, he called himself the Monday Night Delight. You remember that?
Yes.
And back in RVD's heyday, he called himself Mr. Monday Night when he jumped ship. But obviously, Joe Moe's not there anymore. So based on the current roster, probably CM Punk, just because it seems inevitable that there's going to be some type of fallout between Heyman and Punk. Have they fought before?
Have they ever fought a one-on-one match?
If they fought, it had to have been at a house show. I don't believe they've ever had a match on Raw or SmackDown. I'm sure they've had some type of altercation at a house show, you know, in the yesteryears back when Punk was first coming in. But I don't believe they've ever had a program or anything like that. But
I'm looking up right now on Google, which is a cool search tool. You might have heard of it. They've teamed up, I guess, with each other, but they've never actually faced each other. So right away.
Wait, weren't they at WrestleMania?
No, they did not go against each other. That was the New Breed versus ECW. But RVD was but CM Punk was in the Money in the Bank ladder match that night, so he was not involved in that.
Oh, okay, right.
So yeah, we've never seen a CM Punk versus RVD match, or we've never seen a Daniel Bryan versus Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, that's another good one, too, because RVD and Benoit and Guerrero, they had a lot of good matches, and Bryan's very similar to them. So that's another good match right there. But what I'll do is I will post the interview on the PWB page after the show is over. It's on YouTube. It's just a very short interview. It's fairly recent. RVD had the interview sometime in 2010, and it was called the name of the video was called RVD Wanted to Fight Vince McMahon. And in the interview, he basically talks about how bad his last days were in WWE, and he was extremely adamant about the schedule that he just could not handle it anymore, and that was one of the main reasons he left. And, last I checked, he still felt that way as early as 2012, which is why I think he's going to have a similar schedule to Lesnar. But, you know, I'll post it, and you guys can hear it for yourself.
All right, thanks for showing us that, Tove. We do appreciate it. I think Rob Van Dam is I do remember the interview he is talking about how he felt, and I'm very surprised they are putting RVD back on TV, especially the way he felt. But you know what? It comes down to money. It comes down to fresh matches, and it's a nostalgic name, no matter how, you know. And, you know, we had an interview with John Morrison, by the way, you know, speaking of Joe Moe, on our YouTube page. If you could check that out, on our interview with a bunch of wrestlers, the Iron Sheik, Jomo from a PWS show. Check us out on youtube.com/ PW Powerhouse. You can see us there. But yeah, it's going to be quite interesting. So Nate, I always like to do two things. One, I want to know the best and worst match of the night. And number two, if you had to put a dollar value of $0 being the lowest and $45, which is usually the cost of these pay-per-views, what would your cost amount be based on how much you felt you got out of the show tonight?
Okay, I'll start with the best match of the night. Well, CM Punk versus Jericho, you know, because the crowd, Punk coming back in Chicago and winning the match. I thought that was the match of the night. For a dollar value, I mean, I had the pay-per-view probably at a 7.5 out of a 9. So figuring out a dollar value, probably around, I don't know, probably about $35 out of 45.
Well, that's usually a pass, usually in my book, because of the RVD announcement, because of the Jericho match, which was my favorite match, and I think the way they turned Alberto Del Rio tonight, which I thought was a good turn, I would say about the $30 to $35 amount. Tof, you have no opinion because you didn't watch it, so you have to stay at a zero. You could even stream it. So,
no, I don't believe in streams, but yeah.
Yeah, there you go. He doesn't believe in streams. So that was a wrap-up of tonight's show. I mean, Payback, I mean, overall, what do you see going forward, Nate? What do you think, how do you think Money in the Bank's going to shape up here?
It should be pretty interesting. Like I said, with Rob Van Dam returning, it would be nice to see him get in that match. I just wonder about with Dolph Ziggler, if he's 100%. Alberto Del Rio's heel turn. I think the Shield moving forward will be pretty big. I don't know where they're going to go with John Cena. And, Ryback's probably out of it. So there's some talk about Daniel Bryan and a John Cena feud. I really don't want to see that because he's going to get buried, Daniel Bryan.
I don't think he will. I think I think if one person that John Cena would put over right now as a face, it would be Daniel Bryan. If he's a company man that he is, you know, he would do that. They got to build another face up. Daniel Bryan is over with that crowd. You know, he can get a lot of sympathy from Randy Orton, the way Randy Orton's been kind of treating him lately, you know, and how Kane's treated him lately. He has that sympathy from the audience. And because the moment he explodes in that ring, people are on fire with him. And you see that the last few weeks, you've been really seeing that the crowd's now really reacting to Daniel Bryan, how people are feeling. So
I don't think John Cena would put a god over in a match right now. So
Shawn Michaels ain't gonna like that. What's your thoughts on going forward the next couple of weeks? What are you expecting? I mean, I know you're not a big WWE guy, but what are you expecting?
Someone had private messaged me the other day and sent me a link, and it was from a reliable source. And according to what the source had said, it said that one of the priorities right now in WWE is they're trying to find a storyline to bring back Christian. And I want to believe this story, but, you know, I've pretty much been reading the same thing since January, that he's clear and they're just waiting for him. And, you know, Money in the Bank's around the corner, and, you know, we all know ladders are Christian's specialty. So I'm expecting him to return any day now. You know, I'm surprised he's not here. But, you know, Money in the Bank is one of the more interesting pay-per-views. I definitely think it's one of the more enjoyable pay-per-views. Depending on the card, I wouldn't mind putting my money down on it. But it's hard to say, you know. One of the problems about WWE is, you know, when they build up to WrestleMania, they're not really concerned about the aftermath. All they're really concerned about is just building up a solid Mania card, and whatever happens after that, they just kind of go with it and see what happens. So I really have no idea, but, you know, Money in the Bank's around the corner, so we'll just have to see. I don't really know what's going to happen.
All right, well... Nate, I want to thank you for calling. Tove, I want to thank you guys for calling tonight, talking about WWE Payback. We were featured tonight on Blog Talk Radio, so I hope all the fans that listen in tonight will go to TLDWrestling.com, because after the end of the day, TLDWrestling.com is what we're really trying to promote here. Right, guys?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure you check us out, BrookwoodFord.com. That's my pro wrestling website where I show me and a bunch of guys together. We have our big live show coming up July 13th. Tove, you remember, you're coming up for that show, right, from Georgia?
I will try.
Yeah, all right. And, Nate, you should come down from Connecticut for it, July 13th in Morganville, New Jersey.
Okay. I'll check it out. Morganville? I'm already down.
That's right. Go to BrookwoodFord.com. You can get all the details right there. But let's talk about ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We're running really strong on Facebook, Facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. PWP Radio is going strong here on Blog Talk Radio. We do shows every Tuesday night. Tope, you calling in Tuesday?
Yes. Wait, okay. This Tuesday?
Yeah, this Tuesday, the Tuesday that's coming up this week.
Oh, no, but I will be on Wednesday, not Tuesday.
Oh, yes, we have Oh You Didn't Know Radio on Wednesday nights that Tope is the host of. Oh, that rhymes. I'm pretty good at rhyming. Also, we have our group page at Facebook. Check out our YouTube page where we have video interviews with John Morrison, New Jack, Superstar Billy Graham. We have all the interviews that we've done for PWP Radio with John Morrison, with everybody else. I can't even think of the names because there's so many. You know, looking forward to Mark Henry coming back tomorrow night. And PWP Radio is going strong. We want to thank every single person who is listening to us here tonight, live here on Blog Talk Radio. Nate, you got any words to say to all the fathers out there who have listened to this show tonight?
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And hopefully Raw is good tomorrow night. Everyone have a happy and safe week. And I'll talk to you again. If you want me to come on for the next pay-per-view, I won't mind joining. You know,
Nate,
I like doing
you were the best host I've ever had in my entire life. Jay Leto doesn't compare to you. Tove definitely doesn't compare to you, because Tove just hates on everything. Right, Tove?
Yeah.
I'm kidding with you, Tove. How's your Father's Day go?
Non-existent. But on a positive note, well, actually, this isn't a positive note. There's rumors going around that Mark Henry might retire tomorrow. We'll see.
Oh, well, okay. I guess it's good news for Tope. He's going to have the popcorn ready for that one. So I want to thank everybody for calling tonight. Nate and Tope, thank you for calling in. My name is TLD Wrestling. That's my name. My name's really Will. But TLDWrestling.com. Check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. And on this note, we are going to end with the greatest theme song in professional wrestling history. See y'all. Have a good night. And keep it real, as Jay would say.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
4-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay on TLD.
Why everything, damn it? I'm TLD. Brand new deals that we...